This production is brought to you by Red Brick Media. To see our full range of authentic Islamic audiovisual products, please visit our website at www.redbrickmedia.co.uk.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'khfiruhu. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, for those brothers who've come tonight to listen to some words about the lifestyle they may live or they may want to live, that even among some of us, sometimes this lifestyle begins to glamorize and glitter in people's eyes. And all that glitters is not gold. The Quran tells us, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. So those substances which are pure, those things which are good, are not the same as those things which are filthy and corrupt. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. Even though the impure substances, the impure life, the filthy life may dazzle you, may embezzle you, may take your senses away, but a person with some form or even minute element of iman will begin to see straight through that and recognize that this is not the way for me. And thus tonight we want to talk about things that take you out of the fold of Al-Islam. There are many things ulama have collected, possibly some 400 in number, about things that nullify your faith, that classify you as a disbeliever. They then begin to condense them into some 10 major things that if a person gets involved in them, they can leave the fold of Islam. And some of these compilations done centuries ago, a person who dies committing shirk, a person gets involved in magic, a person who takes intermediaries towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who goes against the sharia or believes another way is practical and applicable above the sharia, are just some that come to mind. But point number 10, written centuries ago, because sometimes we think that some of these works are for the people involved in academics. It doesn't really concern me. This scholarly debate, who's a Muslim, who's not a Muslim. But point number 10 is what we want to focus upon tonight. Al-i'radu عن دين الله سبحانه وتعالى. Turning away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is also something that nullifies a person's faith. If a person intentionally turns away from learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't want to learn, doesn't want to understand, then that person is treading upon a very, very dangerous path. Gives up praying, fasting, resembling himself as a Muslim, is traveling on a very, very dangerous path, And some may even conclude, not that we may necessarily hold that view, that this person has left the fold of Islam. Because we find numerous ayat inside the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَى. Whoever turns away from my dhikr will have a severe punishment, will have a restricted life. That is a key ayah we're going to focus upon today. But the first essence is, وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise we find, وَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Don't become among those individuals who forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You forget Allah, then Allah will make you forget your own self. You do not know what you're doing on this planet. Because you forget Allah, Allah forgets you. And that's this main ayah inside Surah Taha, that whoever turns away from my dhikr, فَعِنَّهُ لَمَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ, that individual have a wretched life. So there's various forms of turning away. You find those Muslims, firstly the intellectual individuals, who believe that we need to be intellectually spiritualized. The only way forward is for us to become academics. That's what they feel. You have these so-called thinkers amongst our Muslim society, focusing upon extreme education. They think there's no need to pray, there's no need to fast, there's no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the use of my intellect, I'll excel and I'll go forward. The second group of individuals that we find is the average Muslim. Why should I come to the masjid? Why should I come to a dars? Why should I come to a halaqa? Why should I come to a reminder? Because the more I hear, the more possibly I may have to implement. So I just keep away. You know, these modern Muslims, we just like to louse around in shisha bars, and listen to nasheeds, sip coffees and think that they're revitalizing Islam, or wrapping PLO scarves around their clean shaven faces and taking footsteps and singing about Palestine, think they're going to liberate it. Is that what you think? You're going to liberate Palestine in that manner? Women chanting slogans, singing songs, waving in front of you, screaming and shouting behind you? We don't need such Muslims. Then we find a third type of Muslims, which is our average young individual, the average youth, the foot soldier, the man on the street. Because a large percentage of Muslims have said, we don't know what the Imam's talking about. I don't have a clue. I don't understand his language. I don't understand his rhetoric. I can't engage with him. In a Mori poll done, a large percentage of young Muslims said, the Imam is totally clueless about our society. And that's what we want to turn around tonight, inshallah. That there's some Imams, we're not clueless, we're on the road just like you're on the road. But our way on the road is different from the road you're upon. That's the Quran mentions, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا بِالرَّسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. We do not send any messenger except for with the language of his people. That's the first thing when you're preaching the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to understand the language of the people. The Prophet Muhammad had the ability to speak to Mala'ul Qawm, the elite people, and to come down and speak to the Bedouin Arab. Because sometimes we like to rub shoulders with delegates and celebrities and big people. But the average people on the street, the young youth, they feel that we've let them down. So tonight, inshallah, we haven't come to let you down, but to hopefully, inshallah, to deliver the message. وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَاد. Every people has a warner. As Shaykh Samir Taymiyyah mentions, explain this ayah, that every person who comes to preach has to deliver the message to those people. Has to understand the thaqafa, the culture, the mindset, the psychological development, the social backdrop, what takes place to lead people to become like this. That why are so many Muslim youth turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Maybe they have that small excuse that no man came to me and gave me the right message. So that's what our intent is tonight, inshallah, to deliver the right message. You may take it back and ponder over it. Because I know some of you men just think about bullets banging into you. Tonight we're going to bang a bullet bang into your heart, into your chest. That's what we come for today. That's the bullet we want to bang into your heart. That you can't shrug it off. They will come back and they'll curse you. It'll haunt you and it'll prey upon you every single day when you go back on road to make you think that what bullets am I taking in my daily life? What am I doing in my life? What's my purpose in life? أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا? You think we create you out of vanity, no purpose? You just walk around, brawl about on the streets? That's designed for non-Muslims to behave in that manner. That's what the Quran mentions about them. ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا. Leave them alone to eat and drink like cattle, like beasts. That's the language the Quran uses about them. They're beasts, they're animals. They're ferocious, they're vicious. They have no mind, they have no real intellect. That's not how us Muslims should become. To begin to live a life like that, a thug lifestyle. What they talk about, the gangster lifestyle. What are the haram things that most Muslim youth are doing that sometimes we begin to shy away from? The first thing that we find is alcohol. Clearly inside the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th chapter, verse number 1991, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمَرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون. Oh, you believe? Indeed, the drinking of alcohol, in gambling, the slaughtering upon the divine stones and the throwing of these arrows is the filthy handiwork of the devil. فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. Stay away from it if you want to be successful. Indeed, Shaitan only wants to create animosity and hatred via the use of drinking and gambling to take you away from the dhikr of Allah. The greatest dhikr of Allah is the prayer. So will you not abstain? Has it not become, unfortunately, a common trend that Muslim youth, they drink alcohol, whatever the names may be, whiskey, brandy, rum, vodka, beers, ale, whatever it may be. Common practice that Muslims get drunk, get legless, can't find their way home, abuse other Muslims while they're making their way home. At least some people need to drink, they should drink in secrecy, drink in the privacy of their own homes. But now we find that people out in the open, behaving like disbelievers. But then some Muslims may say, well, you know, I don't drink alcohol. I take some mild substances. I smoke drugs. Tell me in the Quran, where Allah said in the Quran that cocaine, crack, smack, weed, skunk, marijuana, spliff, reefer, dope, white lady, coke, smoke, brown, Charlie, whatever name you want. People say to me, give it to me from the Quran and I'll give it up today in my life. Give me these words from the Quran, I'll give it up in my life. Because it doesn't exist in the Quran. That's what they're trying to say. Well, for your information, it does exist inside the Quran. The Quran mentions quite clearly, the verse that I mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْخَمَرِ. Khamr isn't alcohol. That's a loose translation. The meaning of khamr according to Sharia is مَا غَابَ الْعَقْلِ. Whatever intoxicates you in your language, whatever rushes you, stones you, buzzes you, trips you, makes you feel good, raises you, is haram. Full stop. Sharia doesn't look at the names that you want to hear on the streets. The Sharia says that if it takes away your mind, it covers your mind, it shrouds your mind, takes away your senses, finish. End of story. Man wants to come to me and say to me, but Sheikh, you know, I don't take so much of this stuff. I only take a small spliff to keep me mellow like Bob Marley used to take weed, keep me controlled and focused. Weed don't do no man no harm. Well, it creates schizophrenia. That's what it does, split personality. The people go and preach this. That's even the government, the Class of Drugs Act 1974, classified drugs as Class A, Class B, Class C. They can't make up their mind what to do with skunk and weed. And this professor had to resign himself Because probably might have been stoned and weed himself. Couldn't make up his mind. So he declassified it from a class B drug to a class C drug, and now trying to move it back to a class B drug. Class A drugs, for those of you who may not be familiar, carries a 7 years imprisonment of heroin, crack, cocaine. But obviously this becomes common norm and practice for us, because for us, because I'm a big daddy, isn't it? I'm a big daddy if I move the kilos, the keys, isn't it? The chubby of heroin that I move around, I'm a big daddy, that's who I am. So don't pick a bone with me. I'm a big trafficker, and I'm going to come to that man who's a trafficker and give you a message to remember for the rest of your life, inshallah. Like I said, the bullets I'm going to come with are different bullets. That's the bullets I'm going to come with. You're going to think about it for the rest of your life. So people who take drugs, they like to come and say, well, I only take small amounts to keep me mellow, keep me focused. I don't get stoned, so it must be halal for me. So they think we're some type of fools. That's what they think, to play games with us. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim, ما أسكر كثيره فقليله حرام. Whatever stones you in large amounts becomes haram in small amounts. The Sharia doesn't look that for you. I drink balance of beer and then I get drunk. Or I take a kilo of crack and then I get, well, you won't get drunk, you'll be probably dozed out of your mind. Hallucinations, jumping off some building or something. Sharia doesn't say pick you and say you're free. The Sharia says whatever in large amount intoxicates you is forbidden in small amounts. Finish. Because the Sharia has maqasid, has purposes, five general purposes. To protect your mind, your body, your soul, your faith, your wealth, your honor, your dignity. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes something halal, look at it. It benefits your life, benefits your wealth, benefits your honor, benefits your dignity, benefits your religion, benefits your mind. Anything that's made haram in the Sharia, look what it does to you. Destroys your wealth, destroys your honor. Man taking heroin, lying on the floor like a dog, addicted to heroin. Lying on the floor, picking up cigarette butts, chewing them, because he's become a skaghead. That's how low our community's fallen down. When you see your own brother falling on the floor, picking up small cigarette butts, begging from another Muslim to go get another wrap, to inject themselves. A man wants to drive by in his flash car and think, yeah, I'm a big boy. When some people are serving these substances, there's a code of behavior. Never serve it up to another Muslim. Never ever in your life. Go down a long way. Go down a long way, but never ever get your own blood addicted to it. We've crossed over the rules. We've crossed over the boundary. Some of us, we think we're gangsters. Read about the gangster world. Read about the Gambini family. The Don Corleones that you want to be. Forget about Tony Montana, the Cuban drug dealer who came over. The real drug dealers, you read about the cartel. Man would never serve drugs in his life. Read the history of the gangland warfare. No real Italian mafia ever served drugs in their life. Any man caught trafficking drugs, then he was gunned down by the mafia. That's the ethics you will know about the gangland mafia. That's the reality. But obviously we turn and look at people like the Scarface. Muslim boys walking about with a picture of Scarface with a zoot in his mouth. Go and read the history of Scarface. Who was Scarface? Even read the history of how he got the name Scarface. Some people say he got battered so much they called him Scarface, he hated the name. So he ended up dealing with a man. Now the historians are right. They went, he said something about next man's woman. Man turned around, scarred him up in his face. He can remember it for the rest of his life. He looks in the mirror. He said these evil statements. But what was the end of this individual? What's the end of all these individuals begins to take place inside their life? We begin to praise them, look up to them. That this is my lifestyle. Live by the gun, die by the gun. That's what some of us we think, isn't it? The gangster rap culture as well. Listening to these people. Man walking with his trousers hanging below his bottom. Thinking he's Tupac Amaru Shakur. Amaru means what? The shining serpent. That shining serpent is where now? Wrapped round his mouth. All eyes on me now, isn't it, Tupac? I get around, isn't it? Damn hell you get around. Gunned down, 1996, four times in a drive-by shooting. Hail is the greatest rap artist that ever existed, selling 75 million albums, or 75 million recordings of his. His famous album being Machiavelli, when he got shot the first time and walked out and recorded in 6 days. There may be some element of truth what the man writes about, but at the same time, majority of it is kufr. Leads on to what? Violence. A 19-year-old boy in Texas shot a sheriff. When they said to him, what drove you to kill this police officer? He said, listening to Tupac's track, two Acopolis now, about gunning down the law. That's how some of us begin to think, isn't it? Listening to this, isn't it? That I'm above the law. What's the whole history? If you go back to the history, all begins with people like NWA, niggas with an attitude, Public Enemy, Ice-T, Ice Cube, coming back with all these other artists that begin to exist. Muslims, they think they're black. At least a black man, a Jamaican Yadi, Jamaican Patois, his language, man. He's grown up in that language. He speaks Yadi because he's a Yadi. Since when have you been a Yadi, tutting your teeth, growing dreads, wearing a Rasta vest? Since when? Since when's that been your culture? That's man's culture. That's his lifestyle. That's how he conducts himself. You ain't no Jamaican Yadi. And when you pick beef with Jamaican Yadi, you know what happens to you anyway. You get put in your place. And you drive back to your streets round here in Alum Rock, don't you? Don't travel out to Hanworth and deal with the situation, do you? Put your head down and drive back where you belong. Stay in your manor, yet little boy. You ain't no bad boy if that's what you think. Because there's always going to be a badder boy than you out there. That's the reality. Most times you have to walk about with a piece behind you. You're worried about your life. That's what you're worried about. That next man's going to gun me down. Why is next man going to gun you down? Because you jacked this, he jacked that. Jacking each other. Forget about Trident. Black and black crime. We've got now Muslim and Muslim crime. Police investigating amongst ourselves. Turf wars about drugs taking place. £40 million heroin connection in Bradford. I don't know how much exists in this community, but I wouldn't be mistaken. There is a lot of pimps, man. Grow up, will you? Racketeering and prostitution. Filth, that's what you are. You're a scum, bruv. You're a scum, I wouldn't spit on your face. My saliva's worth more than that, and you think you're a bad boy. That's how low you've become. Racketeering these substances. Getting your own Muslim youth addicted to it. Remember this one message in your life. Don't forget about the next man out there searching for you, looking for you. Think about those people you're addicted to these substances. I don't often get up and pray at night. That's my downfall. But I tell you one thing. If I knew somebody in my family got offered drugs because of you, and I know who you are, I'll make sure I get up every single night and I'll curse you till the day I die. And that's what a lot of mothers are doing upon you every single night. Remember those words. Every day you've been trafficking drugs inside this community, there's a poor mother out there who gets up every single night and says, may that person die a dog's death, who got my son, my daughter addicted to this crack, this junk. So that curse, that gun, that bullet of that mother stays with you for the rest of your life. That's going to be in the back of your head, in the back of your skull. You don't know what's going to hit you. Because you think you're a bad boy dealing it out in the streets. But those poor people thinking at home, they're praying every single night upon you that may you die a dog's death for getting my child addicted to these filthy substances. And that's a difficult life to live. You could bypass the feds. You could bypass them. You could be a smart criminal. You could do the law. You could bring evidences. You can hide it there. You can do that there. Don't think I don't know what happens or takes place. You could bust it on next man. You could write the sentence of what you think. But there's going to be other threats. Other threats are going to haunt you. And those innocent individuals, they're going to be praying against you. And that's something difficult for you to do. And that's exactly what the verse mentions. وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ. Whoever turns away from my dhikr, that person will have a wretched life. This ayah inside Surah Taha, whoever turns away from my dhikr will have a wretched life. What does it mean to have a wretched life? That's what most people think, that I've got a good life. You know, some people when they're involved in these haram substances, they wouldn't put a dime on the table. They wouldn't buy food for their family members. Today we find these same people buy gifts for their family members, lavish them up, give their children haram, give their family members haram, and even try to come and rush to the masjid, give some haram to the masjid. The end does not justify the means. Haram life does not legalize your actions. Don't try to come along and slip some money to the masjid and say, well, this is my contribution. You can't live a haram life and then try to justify it, that maybe I'm doing, at least I do something good. There's no concept of at least I'm doing something good. So that's the first thing. You're going to have a restricted life. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. They're going to raise him up in a state of blindness. Parents are going to say, why have you raised me up blind? قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. I could see in this dunya. Why have you made me blind? Because our signs came in this world and you turned away, you forgot them. وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Today you're forgotten by Allah. You turn away from Allah, Allah will forget you. Likewise, that person will say, woe upon me. What have I presented in my life? Woe upon me that I took so and so as a khalil, as a close friend. How many of us get involved in haram actions because of our friends? That's why you find a hadith. Be careful about who your friends are. Al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi. A man is on the religion of his friend. So let each one of you look at who your friends are. Many young boys, what do they say? Well, I just move about with this crowd. I just hang about. Whether it be Arcadia or Silver Cues or whatever else these places may be, just hang about there. I don't really do these things. Well, remember the example of the frog. Put a frog in boiling hot water, he never goes in it. Put him in cold water and he feels he's at home. Put a Bunsen burner underneath it, begin to heat the water. Water begins to get hot, begins to simmer, begins to boil, begins to overpour. The frog doesn't jump out. The frog climatizes and he dies. So at the moment, you're in that pool with the rest of your friends. Yesterday, there were young boys who grew up with their hands, never touched a cigarette in their life. Moving about with this crowd, the next that we hear, that they're out there serving these haram substances. It all began with just moving about with them. They're just my friends. I don't do anything haram. Just pass time with them. How can those individuals be your friends? How can a man be your friend and say to you, and he take these haram substances? Is that really a friend? But if I burnt my hands in my life, do I want my children to burn their hands? Do you want a fellow Muslim to burn their hands? Even the fuqaha, they write deep words. If a person is drinking alcohol, he gives the alcohol glass to his brother. Does he say cheers? Drinks up, brother? Bottoms up? Is that what he says? When the fuqaha write, when he gives that haram substance to his brother, he should say, ittaqillah, fear Allah. Because maybe he may abstain and give it up. To such a degree, you're doing something haram, keep your haram to yourself. We all do something wrong, or have bad habits, as they say. Why do you want to go and impress it upon other individuals? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those people who want to spread illicit, immorality, bad behavior amongst those people who believe, for them will be an evil chastisement inside this world and likewise inside the Akhirah as well. So why do we want to be that type of person? I have a bad habit, I keep it to myself. I pray to Allah to come out of it. Why am I going around in society encouraging people to get involved in bad actions? And likewise the other fahisha that we find. Some young brothers come and say, well, I don't drink, I don't take drugs, I don't traffic them, I don't even listen to gangster rap, whatever it may be. Not that I do. Alhamdulillah, I research, you have to listen to these snippets to understand what's taking place in a society, isn't it? DMX, flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood, hell is hot. Damn hell, hell is hot, isn't it? Man suffers from bipolar depression or whatever he suffers from. Or 50 cents. Is it, you look up to him, he's rich, get rich or die trying? Is it because man got shot 9 times? So you want to look up to him? You know, I have to use the expression. Some of us, we think that we are obviously a derogatory statement that I'm a nigger. N-I-G-G-A. You know what they say about rap about it? Not ignorant, getting goals accomplished. Isn't it? So they try to justify it. Do you understand? It's not a rudimentary statement. We're now adding glamour to it, man. It's all about cream, isn't it? What's cream? Who can tell me what cream means? Who's a rap artist here? Go on. Cash rules everything around me. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Rap about that, isn't it? And what do their mums say when they rap about that? Well, you never lived in no shanty town, in no hut, and had no food, and you had to start serving crack to get by. Is that what they said about who is it? Biggie, isn't it? Notorious, wasn't he? What happened to Biggie 6 months later after Tupac Amaru Shakur? Got gunned down as well 4 times. I wonder who gunned him down. He was notorious, wasn't he? And his mum said he never lived in no shanty town. He had damn good food given to him. And my man raps about he had to serve up crack to get by. It's a fake image. And Muslim youth want to look up to that and think, yeah, that's me. Boy, there ain't no Muslim youth who's going to reach that level. We had Apache Indian, isn't it? That's about it, isn't it? That's as far as we got. So I don't understand. At least they have a talent, isn't it? They have a skill, isn't it, to talk about something. What are you going to talk about? The side of my plate, I want chutney. Boy, you ain't getting that in Belmarsh, bruv. Man sits in his cell weeping away. Sheikh, get me out of here, bruv. Bruv, you got yourself in here, ride it big time. Ride it is what I say. You're a man out there, ride your sentence like a man. Ride it like a man all the way then. There's some people out there that I've met in my life, who've even said some of them taking a man's life, maybe even for justified reasons. You say to them, do you feel any sorrow about what you've done? Say, I don't feel any sorrow at all. Some of them are real men, ride it all the way. But some of us, when we go there, we think we're the big Don Teflon, isn't it? That's what we think in the big runners. It's a big industry. You study the whole industry, how it began to take place. Crack and cocaine in the 60s in America was pushed amongst the black people to make them squabble amongst themselves. But the white man fell in love with the rich man's drug and got addicted to it as well. And just the same thing was taking place in our community at the moment. The turf wars, the violence, the crime. Don't you think that these people don't know what's going on? I'm a no one. And I'm telling you now, give me 10 minutes in Alum Rock and I'll give you the names and the places of all the big traffickers in this community. So you're telling me 5-0 don't know who's who? Is that what you're trying to tell me? That 5-0 don't know who's doing what? Of course they know. By the way they see it, we see it in East London, it's Muslims are Muslims. Let them battle it out. Let them carry on whatever they're doing. They're destroying their own race, their own people, their own culture, their own identity. That's what they're doing. But the other thing that we want to mention is some young boys. Obviously, I have to be explicit. I was in the masjid. I have to control myself slightly. That, you know, I love girls. Isn't it? That's what man says. Well, there's nothing haram about that. What's haram about that, Sheikh? It's a normal way of life. Where do you live? What's happened to you? أَخْرِجُوا أَهْلَ لُوتٍ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. Get rid of the people of Lut. They want to be a purified people. You know the Quran says, do not even come. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Don't ever come near zina. Indeed, it is something that severs the path and an evil action. Quran does not say, don't commit zina. Understand that deeply. It's not saying don't commit it. It said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't go near anything that leads onto zina. A woman says that, you know, you've got these Muslims in the disguise that what's wrong with free mixing? What's wrong with people having a good time going to a mela and enjoying themselves? What's wrong with that? You know, I don't feel no inclinations towards women. I just go there and enjoy myself. You're a liar, brother. That's what you are. even the Muslim individuals. You know, it's good for da'wah, isn't it? It's good for da'wah, you know, it's good entertainment. That's why sometimes, you know, Muslims on road, at least they come and they say to you, you know, Sheikh, I'm a bit confused. You know, you told me don't do this, and your own man, they're doing this, and doing these melas, and doing these functions, and all women coming there. What are we supposed to say to them? You got people serving sentences, and they come and say, Sheikh, you know, you got some weird friends. At least we're banged up in prison, riding a sentence because we've done some haram in our life. You know, we're guilty. But your man, 1 minute he's praying, next minute he's telling me how to jack the system. He's giving me passports and driving license and this, that, and the other. I don't understand him. I'm a criminal. I admit I'm a criminal. I don't pray. I don't fast. I don't mix the two together. I don't be religious 1 minute, and next minute I'm tracking down the system or breaking the system. Make up your mind. If you're a criminal, be a criminal. If you're a mullah, be a mullah. Don't link the two up together and give mixed messages. Walk away from it. How many times you had brothers coming and say turf war between this, but you're supposed to be practicing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I wouldn't take that in jahiliyyah from no man. So why should I take it now? Then you know what? You haven't understood Islam. If man says something about you in jahiliyyah, then once you become a Muslim, it don't count no more. Our brothers come up to me and said to me, Sheikh, I've got, what do they call it? A tab on my head. I've got a price tag on my head. What should I do? Go to that person and rip up the price tag in the face and say, whatever happened before, I ain't coming back for you no more. And don't you come for me no more, because I'm not involved in this no more. And 9 times out of 10, those people will not come for you. Because they respect the fact that you've turned a new leaf, you're not involved in this. Because any sensible person knows that this, whatever this way of lifestyle, it's wrong. So you walk away from it. But some of our people, they want to go back into it. Or they have friends, and they want to mix with them and try to deliver the message to them. Most times those people are going to end up giving you the message. Or your ego is going to come on top, and you want to go back and set the record straight. And nobody in Jahiliyyah said anything to me, so no one now should say anything to me. No, if it's not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wash your hands and walk away. Walk away from it. Because your ego lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where it lies. It's only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back to these young individuals, Quran says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّحَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْعَلْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. Man loves what? First thing that man loves is women. Have you ever thought about why is the Quran saying right in the beginning, man loves women? That's what man loves. Then wealth, then property, the land, and branded horses. You know what today's branded horse in today's language? Cars. You know what car? Ferrari. What's the logo on a Ferrari? The stallion, the horse. Look at the language of the Quran. Still serves us today. Don't man still love his ride? Even today. And most of these young boys living in flats in Bradford or wherever it may be, walk past and I see £100,000 Ferrari and look at the car, look at the flat, and I think, boy, you trying to tell me that you done some good work? You may fool your local imam and say, yeah, you know, you ain't done a day's work in your life. Yeah? You ain't done a day's work in your life, and you're trying to tell me that, Sheikh, I work hard for my money. Yeah. That's right. You work hard for your money, don't you? That money ain't worth anything. That lifestyle isn't worth anything. That's what you think. Because eventually it'll just catch up to you. And it's happened to many individuals. Many individuals. You study the sunnah and the psychological background. Many individuals have never even been slammed down on what they were doing. You know what happens to them? They get caught up in something else. And just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, as they say. But that is the sunnah of Allah. Because obviously you find some of our Muslims, we think we're very smart, isn't it? You know, the way we import our substances, isn't it? You can't smell them in the mangoes, can you? Import export business, Chaudhry Subs, import export. Yeah, bruv. Don't tell me about that one, yeah? Hajis. Isn't it? Hajis, whatever it may be, isn't it? How do you make the empire? How can you raise an empire like that over 2-3 years? I moved about with people. When I was young, when I was growing up, they went to school with me. They never done a day's work in their life. The next time I saw them, they were multi-millionaires. And I thought, what is this? Where did that money come from? We all know where that money come from, isn't it? But even at masjid as well, mashallah, mashallah, isn't it? Parents as well. He's got a good job. He's doing well. What do you mean he's doing well? Your son's serving drugs and you think he's doing well? You look up to these people. Like I said, we shouldn't look up to these people. There's no need to look up to them. They should have their head down and feel ashamed when they walk past us. Not that they should think, yeah, man, they're looking at me as well. Mullah looks at me as well. He looks up to me. Maybe he wants my ride. Give him my keys. Then go spin my ride. Bruv, give me your car. I'll burn it up for you and give it back to you. But that's what they think, isn't it? So the message has to go hard out to them. That this lifestyle is not acceptable. This way of life, this behavior, these characteristics, it's not the way. It's not for us Muslims. We have to deliver the message to the people and remind them that we are Muslims by nature. Not Muslims by name and naughty by nature. We're Muslims. Most of us have been brought up, what, in a good way. Told the basic things that we have to develop in our life. Come towards goodness. That will create a good individual. And it will be good for your own self. It won't be good for us if that's what you think. Whatever you do will benefit your own self. That is what will make you a real man. A real individual. And focus in every single thing that you do inside your life. That is Islam. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. The way of life acceptable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only Islam. That is what made men before. If you think that all of these other substances or things are going to make you into a real man, no. What made all the companions into real men, made them into legends, made them into people, was al-Islam. And that's the only thing that's going to fix our community once again. That we begin to preach the orthodox views of Islam and deliver the message at times to the language of these people. And that's the only reason why psychologically we had to go down and begin to speak the language of these people, that inshallah hopefully this message will travel further to the rest of the people in our community. So there's a large portion of them that they engage inside these evil activities, and we need to hit hard towards them to remind them. So these are a few words I wanted to share for myself and the rest of you beloved brothers. None of you brothers should take whatever words I said personally or think that I've classified you as a disbeliever, or whatever you may think inside your heart or in your mind. These are only words to inspire myself and the rest of you brothers to become more and closer to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ.
This production is brought to you by Red Brick Media. To see our full range of authentic Islamic audiovisual products, please visit our website at www.redbrickmedia.co.uk.